The group, rose-colored glass, the song, Can't Find the Time, the year 1971, number 51 pop hit in the United States, not on Bang Records.
Bang.
Bang Records. Can't find the time. Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Before that.
Da-da. Before that, Love, My Little Red Book.
Yes. What possessed you to play that one? You were the biggest Love fan.
It just seemed like the thing to play out of Cheap Trick.
Downed.
And yeah, I'm not the biggest Love fan, but that is the song that inspired Interstellar Overdrive by Pink Floyd.
Yep.
And so that has a special place in my heart because of that.
There you go.
Oh, Chuck. Oh, everybody.
Oh, us.
All of you.
Yeah.
Alice, you're listening to KUOM AM Minneapolis St. Paul and KUOM FM St. Louis Park. We are Radio K.
Mm-hmm.
And you are Radio K listeners. And for that, we send you K-Love.
Salute.
Uh-huh.
A big hee-haw salute going out to you.
Hee-hee-haw-haw.
He's picking. I'm grinning.
That's
Floyd the Barber. Wait a minute.
There's Uncle Joe. He's a moving kind of slow at the junction. Petticoat Junction.
That show never did it for me.
Never really did it for me either, even though it had those three cute women on there. I never liked it. It was dumb. And what's her futz? B. Benaderet? The woman who was running the Shady Rest Hotel?
Yeah, I don't even know. I remember more probably about, you know, about that horrible John Shuck as a robot cop show than I do about Petticoat Junction. Of course, what am I forgetting right now? The name of the John Shuck as a robot cop show, even though I've looked it up recently.
Oh, yeah, and I at one time knew that, too.
And the phone will ring down, somebody will tell us. Mm-hmm. The, all I know is that he flipped up his shirt pocket of his coat and there was an electrical outlet.
Mm-hmm. John Shuck. There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
He doesn't get around as much as he used to.
Conrad Janis. Now there's a name.
Hey, you know what? Conrad Janis was really cool long before he was... Conrad Janis. Pardon me.
Not Conrad Bain.
I'm thinking of Conrad Bain.
No, Conrad Janis.
Conrad Bain is Mr. Drummond on Different Strokes. You know, it is what it is. You know when he was groovy? When he was on Maud, when he was the husband of the other friend, you know, mm-hmm. the other couple or something on Maud, and you run into episodes of Maud every once in a while, and they're all like, "Oh, we've been drinking too much." All that Norman Lear realism stuff.
What about his evil twin brother Hank Bain?
There was something like that, wasn't there?
It was on SCTV. They had Hank Bain, who was played by Conrad Bain. It was like a foul-mouthed, grumpy Conrad Bain type who was running around SCT. That was good TV.
Doing random channel surfing, I watch frequently like 90 seconds of Three's Company episodes from time to time, and I'm fully satisfied, and then I move on to something else. And I've been landing recently against some of the later, you know, the later episodes when perhaps it turned into Three's a Crowd and all that horrible, mm-hmm. you know, Three's, you know, whatever, Two's, whatever that turned into. And suddenly...
Yo-Yo. The guy's name is Yo-Yo. It's something...
Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Holmes and Yo-Yo. There
Holmes
we go.
Holmes and Yo-Yo.
Bingo!
Nice team effort there.
Thank you.
That's the John Shuck Cop is a Robot show. And, Jack Tripper gets married and him and the missus run a restaurant and stuff, and then everything gets more heavy in relationship-wise. And there's far less, there's no ropers, there's no colorful moo-moo shirts, there's no funny things. Anyway, all I did was flipping channels, and I could tell, and there was like some sort of, you know, corporate-sponsored professional cooking contest with three chefs, and Jack was dressed in drag with a gray wig, like a matronly, you know, Crocker-esque look going on, and speaking in an affected, high-pitched voice, so that it wasn't fair that it was open to only women to compete for the best, you know.
Oh, so he's a crusader for...
Oh, I don't know what he was doing, but all I know is...
Who thought that was... not right.
All I know is between the kid watching some of the PBS Kids TV shows and that John Ritter is the voice of Clifford the Big Red Dog and random channel sampling and is, you know, and the Three's Company behind-the-scenes TV movie, I got way too much John Ritter in my life right now. No, I got to do something about it.
Is he the smiley comedy John Ritter or the pouting dramatic John Ritter?
In where? On Clifford?
I suppose that
the content of my life. Oh, the funny John Ritter.
He's the smiling.
No,
funny
John
Ritter.
I'm not getting the.
Every time you see him in TV Guide, if he's smiling, you know that he's in a comedy.
Yep.
If he's got a serious look on his face, you know that it's a drama.
No, I'm not getting Sling Blade John Ritter. No. Not getting that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The, you know, I'm getting the wacky wacky him.
Hey.
I enjoy watching celebrity the kid TV stuff that I watch with the kid. I enjoy listening for celebrity voices.
Sure.
And John Ritter is the voice of Clifford the Big Red Dog, and there was a basketball star that was coming to visit the island, and it was some fictional basketball star.
Okay.
And I recognized the voice, and I'm like, that's Dorn. That's Worf from Star Trek is the voice. And like, it's really weird. Children's television as an adult is very weird, and I'm certainly not the first parent to experience that phenomenon, but I am fresh to the experience, so it's all
sure.
It's all hitting me anew for the first, you know. it's very odd.
So the measured tones of Michael Dorn were appearing on Clifford the Big Red Dog.
No, actually, it was Chris Dorn. That's the weird part.
No,
it wasn't Chris Dorn.
What are the VTIFFs up to these days?
Playing around.
I suppose.
They are.
So,
we've mentioned
his band. I'm sure he'll be very pleased with that. How about, in the 60s, there was this revival for the teens and 20s. Don't understand why.
Flappers and beads and skinny
dresses. Much like in the
aughts,
there's this revival of the 60s and 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Funny how those things happen. Well,
people like looking back. Look at us.
Yeah, that's right. Recycling previous generations' nostalgia, stuff that you never could have lived through in your wildest dreams, but all of a sudden seems kind of interesting and cool. And in the 60s...
Suit riot!
Those yippies of the 20s were definitely the cool thing, at least in Britain, because everybody was wearing kind of Edwardian outfits, cheap secondhand clothing and so forth and so on. You're wearing the clothes, you might as well get into the culture as well. And so a group called the New Vaudeville Band stepped into the breach, cashed in on the phenomenon with a little song called Winchester Cathedral, and then put out a number of 20s-inspired little rave-ups.
And when their music career faltered, they tried to crash the stock market just so they could find out what it was like.
Something like that, yeah. But the New Vaudeville Band had a number of hits in the UK. Winchester Cathedral, the only one they really had any luck with in the United States.
Right.
This is one of them. This is called Finchley Central. It's the New Vaudeville Band.
On Cosmic Slab.
On Radio K. Let's push the button, and we can hear it.
Central is 2 and 6 months from Golders Green on the northern line, and on the platform by the kiosk, that's where you said you'd be mine. There we made a date. 4 hours I waited, but I'm blowed. You show. And Finchley Central, 10 long stations from Golders Green, change at Camden Town. I thought I'd made you, but I'm afraid you really let me down.
there, pink fairies on Earth. I have a call from Uranus for you.
Yes. Good. Better put him through.
Come on now, say your thing. What do you want to know? What do you want to know? I'm very busy. I'm running a joint now.
Hurry up, will you?
This is Uranus calling pink fairies. This is Uranus. Yeah, well, I say, is there someone from the pink fairies there?
Yeah, what? The what? It's where? It's where? It's what? Yes. What?
Pink fairies.
I'm here.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
I want
you
the pink fairies. I want the pink fairies for a gig on Uranus.
No way, man.
No, I pay 1,500,000 intergalactic credits for the pink fairies
man.
On Uranus.
That's absolute rubbish. Crazy.
We've got...
hang up on him. He's gone crazy. Hang up on him.
So we'd like to say, kids, that...
Whenever on Uranus.
We'd like to say that this is the pink fairies.
Got
right?
One of
say
them anyway.
Something.
This
put
is
your voice
two
in
of
there.
Them. Two of them. Two
there.
Of them.
Hello from me.
Even through.
And we'd like to say, have fun. Get it
spread
on.
It.
Don't forget to boogie. And, up the pinks.
Yeah, shut up.
We'll be right back.
I was a big fan of the Tecton font. I mean, back in 90, 91.
This would have been like 92, 93.
Yeah, so yeah, I think it was to a large degree inspired by the degenerate art exhibit that was touring for Nazi Germany. Art that was considered degenerate or against the state was, you know, it's this thing that came to Chicago. It was a very cool exhibit, and I'm privileged to have seen it. But Tecton was, you know, German type graphic font thing, and yeah.
The psychology of typefaces is a deep subject if you start exploring.
It's sociology of type,
yes.
Actually.
That's true.
Almost ethnography. The Pink Fairies there with Right On, Fight On.
That song just don't stop, do it.
No.
It's a lot of Pink Fairies.
For a gig on Uranus. Wizard in the middle there with See My Baby Jive and the new vaudeville band Finchley Central.
Very nice.
Ooh, it's hard to get more British than that threefer. Woohoo! Oh, goodness.
I just remembered I had the whole new vaudeville band record in the other room.
Uh-huh.
I forgot about it.
Yeah.
I was looking for something else. I'm like, hey, we're playing that right now.
That's the very first pop album I ever owned.
Yes.
Yeah, you can extrapolate a lot from that. Or interpolate, as the case may be. Something, I don't know where, it's like my mom had it or something when she was in high school. No, that doesn't make any sense, because it would have been my grandparents who bought it, because they were nostalgic for the 20s, which, you know, they were 10 years old. what's the point of that? But no, they liked the sound, apparently, and so they had the new vaudeville band record at my grandma and grandpa's house, and that went home with me, and I listened to it a lot.
For some reason, my brain always mixes up Palisade Park and Winchester Cathedral together. I know. No particular reason. So we got a phone call last week. Someone wanted to inquire about the lost Beach Boys album Smile, which evolved into the sort of near-miss record Smiley Smile. And then somebody called in, well, John, friend of Slop John called today saying it's Brian Wilson's birthday right about now, and I'm forgetting exactly when now is. Same as he and McCartney have the same birthday, actually.
Oh.
And asked about it, so we play something related. I said, hey, look, I brought in some stuff because somebody that knows about Smile has never heard anything about Smile. And perhaps that's Gail reminding me exactly the date and time and place of birth for Brian Wilson, because Gail knows her Beach Boys stuff. But so I brought some in, and it's timely in that Brian Wilson's going to tour the UK a bit next year. And by God, they keep digging deeper. They keep wanting to make the Beach Boys fanatics go ooh-ah and show up at the turnstiles again. Just him being on the road and playing songs was a draw enough. And then they got a stall to come back again because he was going to perform Pet Sounds in its entirety, perhaps with an orchestra in some places.
Still a lot of blood in those particular turnips. You can keep squeezing them
they
and
go.
See what comes out.
And there's a new DVD coming out that is out, I believe, right now, which is kind of on tour with Brian, the recent tour and behind-the-scenes stuff and things like that, and him jamming at the Bridge School benefit with Roger Daltrey and Neil Young. And
solid.
But what they're planning for the UK next year is Smile. Brian is going to return to the great lost Never Was record, never really got finished, but there's bits and pieces bootlegged from here to Cancun and back. But he's going to go back to Smile, and it's really, I have mixed feelings about the whole thing, because, well, he always said he never really wanted to go back to that place. It was a psychologically weird thing, a drug-riddled thing, a industry mangled thing, and mostly it just seems sort of exploitive to keep going back to the deeper and deeper bootleg well.
But hey, that's show business.
That's show business.
Yep.
Someday we'll have the 15 Big Ones reunion tour, and everybody will remember all the... We'll just get all nostalgic for the lowlights of the Beach Boys 70s career. Mm-hmm. But somebody said, well, what's the deal with this Smile stuff? I've never heard it, so we thought we'd play some. Because when they put out the box set for the Beach Boys in 93, about a half hour's worth of stuff was released from the vaults that had never been officially out.
Sure.
And we're going to play Wind Chimes, the unreleased Smile, the full produced version, not the strange stoner version that showed up on Smiley Smile.
Wind Chimes.
Lo-fi. Lo-fi isn't... I can see the music mode, but I can... Mm-hmm. This is sort of indicative of the sound and the production and the promise that Smile once was. So, happy birthday, Brian. And watch for the Smile Tour to probably come around this town someday, sometime next year.
Hmm.
This is Wind Chimes from the Lost Smile.
Maybe get an orchestra this time.
Maybe. See, that would be helpful.
That would be nice.
And some bubble machines.
Ooh.
Wind Chimes from Smile, the Beach Boys on Cosmic Slop.
On Radio K.
Hanging down from my window, those are my wind chimes. On a warm breeze, the little bells tingle like wind chimes. Though it's hard, I try not to look at my wind chimes.
Who gave up life for me.
My Girl, the Month of May, from 1966.
Very pretty.
Technically the last of the Dion and the Belmonts 45s.
Technically.
Technically. It was credited to Dion and the Belmonts, but yeah, it's Dion going off in his folky direction.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff, I would say, and a song that made a large impression on British singer-songwriters at the time. It was covered a lot of several times by different groups, and, you know, they kind of took it to heart.
They moved
off in the British folk rock direction.
They viewed him on his own merits, not just as the
right.
Dion guy.
Yeah. The hat-wearing Dion.
The hat, yes. the slouchy hat Dion.
Mm.
Here comes
Bring the Rudy hat.
here comes the newsy cap and the, what was also?
And the glasses. The glasses and the sideburns.
The tinted. I was going to say
the tinted glasses. In the middle, requested a dedication. Of sorts. Glenn Campbell, Dreams of the Everyday Housewife.
Got to get the name right because I wrote it phonetically to get it correct. It's for Janae, and that is Janae, who is a new mom. She lives in Northeast Minneapolis, and her good friends are living out in Idaho. And they're also
Idaho.
New applesauce.
They remotely triggered that musical bomb.
Yes, it did. Anyway, the folks from Idaho who used to listen to the show here in town and now listen from afar, and we're grateful for their extra effort to do so, dedicating a song. They are new parents out in Idaho, and so is their friend Janae in Northeast Minneapolis. So a dedication for the Dreams of the Everyday Housewife from Idaho to Janae. Congratulations.
Sarcasm?
No.
I've
told the story on the air before, and I'll bore you all with it again. I saw Glenn Campbell play a casino show, and he had requests for that song.
Sure.
And he did so somewhat reluctantly, realizing the women equality for women, politically correct, so-and-so, et cetera, et cetera, era of today.
I might get beat for singing that.
I don't know if I can sing this song. He was like, well, this one's from a different time, but, you know, people do love it, so I guess I'll play it. Sure, no problem, but, okay. It was a huge, huge, you know, it's just the song, folks. I know you want to hear the hit. He just completely tried to dance away from it.
Don't hit me.
Please keep your vegetables in your sacks.
We got ourselves an email from Frenislop Urban.
Yes?
Now that you've already ruined my chance to enlighten you on the John Shuck Robot Cop Show.
No, because we came up with Holmes and Yo-Yo Holmes by and ourselves. Yo-Yo.
Be interested to know if there is a recording of the blonde babe from Petticoat Junction, which I also hated, have no fear, singing You Took the Words Right Out of My Heart. I remember that episode. I'm sure there must be a recording of this somewhere, as I recall the episode where the blonde chick returned to the hotel from a successful musical career in the big city, placed a record on the turntable that conveniently played only the instrumental half of the song, and then she warbled this tune. Frankly, I wish it had been the brunette who put out a recording, as I was more partial to her, just as I'm a Marianne and not a Ginger fan. Well, speak for yourself, John. Actually, I was more partial to the redhead. I don't know which one, Billy Joe, Bobby Joe, or Betty Joe was the redhead, but I thought she was cute. Just like I'm a Ginger and not a Marianne fan.
Wasn't there a cute puppy on that show, too?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not cute.
Also, if you have a 45 RPM version of Peekaboo by the New Vaudeville Band, I recommend playing it at 33. Guarantee your abdomens will be aching with laughter.
Thank you, Irvin.
Peekaboo.
Irvin, the auteur.
Yeah,
he's got some nice press in the City Pages 2 weeks back, but make it a big old movie. And also, he's the guy that went and kind of communicated with local musician Arnie Fogel and radio personality.
Sure.
And picked his brain about Arnie Fogel's involvement with the Arctic Cat All-Stars, mm-hmm. You know, I Believe in Movin' and Year of the Cat song that we love so much here. So we are forever indebted to Irvin for his industrious work. I also sent an email to Mr. Fogel saying, you know, I understand a gentleman's been emailing with you about us playing the song, and I just wanted to say, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, we like the song. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I think he was
I don't know. I think we spooked him pretty good. He never replied. Nice enough guy, Mr. Fogel, I'm sure, but we certainly didn't want anything to do with a bunch of guys going, hey, you made this commercial once.
Awesome.
But the Arnie Fogel website has a list of a lot of his commercial productions, and it's pretty cool.
It's more recent. I mean, his commercial productions were put on there in fairly recent months.
Yes.
I remember looking at the Arnie Fogel website quite some time ago, and
right.
that wasn't part of it. But, you know, it becomes more comprehensive. It becomes more, you know, his established little corner of the web there.
Mm-hmm.
Find out all about Mr. Fogel and his various his various endeavors.
He's done a little bit of it all.
He really has. He's one of those guys who just knows everybody and does everything around town.
Yep.
We'll be like that someday. I mean, as we've only been media personalities, yeah. quote unquote, in the Twin Cities for 10 years now, and we got a whole lot of glad handing and you know, sandwich eating ahead of us.
Say, somebody say there's a buffet at this event?
Yes, there was didn't have a mention of Timothy D. Kerr on the telephone. While I was
Did you?
Talking a little bit ago.
See, that's a lot of sandwich eating. high school year jacket, letter jacket wearing. soft drink beverage quaffing.
Canadian music.
Yeah, we got an email from somebody that needed to hear some particular Canuck rock. Why did people flee to the north of the border during the Vietnam War? It was for the quality of the rock.
It was for the music.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about that. That particular Klaatu song is not close to hand, but when you talk Canadian rock,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to say the words Canadian rock without following them up with Max Webster.
Oh, I know. That really is the group that it's on everybody tip of everybody's tongue.
Well, at least north of the border. And
at Giannis and Jane's house.
Oh, definitely.
Giannis is who first, I think, lent us a Max Webster CD.
Big fans of Max Webster.
Yep.
Well, you know, people are big fans of Max Webster the same way they're big fans of Yanni or big fans of...
The Stampeders, also from Canada.
Well, sure. They're... To put it lightly,
I'm comparing.
They're not so good. I don't. I'm not impressed.
Better than Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush?
Mahogany Rush. Well, you know,
there's a comparable act right there.
Yeah, but Mahogany Rush gets some downhill momentum going, and all of a sudden that guitar solo it gets a little wiggy. Max Webster never really gets that kind of steam.
More angular and arty.
No, more slumpy and lumbering.
Oh, you're just flagging now. Okay.
They are slumpy and they are lumbering. And and you want Canadian rock? This. If you knew about this, you'd think twice about going north of the border, I'm guessing.
We playing Go for a Soda? No, that's Kim Mitchell.
Yeah, that's Kim Mitchell from Max Webster.
Yeah, okay.
No. We got the band.
It's proper.
The Ding on Sick, as the case may be. And this is Max Webster teaming up with fellow Canadian rockers... Rush.
Oh, this is the big team up.
Yeah, this is a little tune called Battle Scar, and it is schlumpy and lumbering, and it is Canadian rock of the highest quality.
Get out your slide rule. It's time to rock. Max Webster, Canuck Rock on Cosmic.